The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
He is risen. I hope you had an awesome weekend. And I put up a, I think it's definitely like my favorite Easter scripture, which was, why do you look for living amongst the dead? I just love that. Because, of course, the angel going, hey, you know, it's not like Jesus didn't tell you about this stuff. So why do you look for the living amongst the dead? He's not here. He's risen. That's where we get that. Okay, he is risen. He is risen indeed. So I hope you had a wonderful Easter. Certainly did at the Noble House. Beautiful, beautiful weather. Just a wonderful day. In the epicenter of our faith, if you don't get excited about Easter and the resurrection, then your wood is wet. So I hope you had a great weekend, and I hope you were able to celebrate. What I said is it's the epicenter of our faith. Okay, don't ever forget that. And that's where we have to be. And let's not just think about the resurrection on Easter Sunday. The resurrection is a present reality for us all throughout the year and should be something that we revisit and marvel over regularly. And somebody that I know does that also on a regular basis is our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, our resident expert to help us understand all this craziness going on out there. David, how are you, my brother? How was your Easter?
I'm doing okay. I've got this big head cold going on. I don't know where I got it from, but so I had to lay low yesterday. I wanted to make sure it wasn't anything serious, but I'm doing better today. Took some antihistamines or whatever you call it, but so I sound nasally. I feel pretty good, but I sound worse than actually how I feel.
Yeah, good. Well, that's good to hear. I hope you guys had a good Easter, and it certainly is, like I was saying, the epicenter of our faith. And that's like Paul said, hey, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we're the most pitiable fools. And it's just such an exciting event to think about and contemplate, and still matters 2,000 years later, and should be. I mean, for you, as somebody that was in the ministry for a while, is Easter, you know, you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, David. What's Easter like for you?
Well, when I was in the ministry, it was one of the busiest, if not the busiest day of my life, because we'd have multiple services. And there'd be, I was a worship leader, although I started out as youth pastor. The main thing that I did was worship, and it was a lot of practicing ahead of time. So Easter has taken on a completely different meaning for me now, since I'm not in the pulpit, so to speak, but I minister in a different way. And so I still enjoy Easter services, but it's not from the behind the scenes like it used to be for the majority of my life.
Yeah, which is kind of nice, and praise the Lord for that. And just a different season. God's good with seasons, and so we're grateful to have you for the full show today, and great to have you back from your vacation. So stock market's doing pretty well today. I was looking at that a little while ago, presently up 373, almost 374 points, and that's a good thing. But so what's going on? What's causing that big jump today? And then we've got several other things we'll talk about as the show unfolds.
Well, we had futures are jumping and you know, start out this morning, and obviously the market is up. In the aftermath of Friday's job report, we got a news release from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Two reports actually came out. The non-farm payroll employment rose. 916,000 jobs were added in March. That's a really good number. And also the employment rate edged lower from 6.2% down to 6%. You know, digging further into this report, the private sector jobs rose 780,000 jobs versus what they thought there was only be 643,000 jobs. So we're having a job recovery, and that's good for stocks. In fact, it's one of the strongest job reports in 7 months. Some, Steve, are saying that this could mark the beginning of the best annual economic growth in near 40 decades. And I think most of those are Democrats saying that.
There
are some others saying quite different. And they're saying that the labor force, when you dive a little bit deeper into this report, there are some things that we should be aware of and possibly be concerned about. The labor force participation was one of those concerned. It edged up 61.5%. What does that mean? Let's bring it down to simple English. A person by the name of Julie Pollack, she's a labor economist at ZipRecruiter. She tweeted that this is suggesting that the labor supply, in other words, the amount of jobs out there, may soon be drying up, becoming a constraint on the recovery. Mm. The other thing with this report is the average hours a person was working actually fell on a weekly level. So they're not getting longer hours. Corporations are shrinking back hours and hiring more people. That's one of the reasons why the job report is up. We still got a long ways to go to get back to the Trump administration of 3.5% unemployment. And it looks like it's not going to be a flat playing field, rather an uphill battle trying to get down to that low number of 3.5%, especially when corporate taxes are going to get raised here, it looks like.
Well, and you say the job numbers, and the job numbers look good, and they're going up. That's not the only thing that's going up, which we're going to talk about, and because we're going to talk about the debt, which is just skyrocketing, really amazing to look at that. And there's a lot of other factors. But, of course, they're always going to the mainstream media, people on the left, whoever's in charge, is always going to sell the things they can sell. They're going to sell whatever's sizzling at the time. So that's a good thing. But do you think this little market rally will keep going, or do you think it'll fizzle, David?
Well, if I had to say the tree's going to fall on one side of the fence, I'd say it's going to rally for a little bit. We're in a Goldilocks environment, but that doesn't mean that the three bears won't eventually come home, because that's how the book works. And, you know, just because we're in this great environment of what you call low interest rates, the Fed backstopping the market with quantitative easing, government stimulus as far as the eye can see, and, you know, the good jobs report, vaccines now working. Keep in mind, 94% of all stocks now are over their 200-day moving average. This is the highest percentage, 94%, wow, since March of 2000, right before the bubble burst in the tech, the NASDAQ lost 78% in 2 years. So people are pulling money out of the tech market. Last week, on one day, $1 billion came out, and the week before, around $20 billion came out. So just be careful. The punch bowl is going to get pulled away. In fact, Peter Bokvar, who's an advisor for Bleakley Advisory Group, said, when the Fed has rates at zero and QE is ripping, essentially they're the bartender and they're handing out as free booze as much as possible. Yeah. And don't get too drunk on this, because eventually you will get in an accident.
That's right. Well, the whole building can be on fire, and they're going to be saying, hey, free alcohol for everybody. It's happy hour. But the building's burning all around you, and you need to be aware of that. Be sober-minded, as the scripture calls us to be. We're talking to David Fisher. David, I'm going to put you on hold. We'll be right back. Talking to David Fisher, LandmarkGold.com, as always, our very helpful guest. We'll be right back. Yeah, that's a good line. It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Well, we are talking about the markets. We're talking about the Fed. We're talking about the federal government. We're talking about debt. We're talking about the strength or lack thereof of the dollar, all kinds of things, inflation and stuff like that. So we need wisdom. We need discernment. It's complicated. Whether you have just a little bit or a medium amount or a lot, what happens in the financial world affects all of us, even if you don't have money in savings or money in investments. You're having to spend and pay bills, and so these things matter to all of us. And because the scriptures in both the Old and the New Testament speak a lot about money and possessions, God knew that this would be a challenge for us in our hearts, and it's the love of money that's a problem, and stewardship and covetousness, and all. There's a lot of issues. And that's why the Bible speaks so much about it. And because the Bible speaks about it, we speak about it on a regular basis. And that's why we praise the Lord. We have a brother in Christ that can help us understand these things and brings his 20 plus years of experience and wisdom and knowledge to help us understand these things. Of course, David Fisher with Landmark Capital. Their website is always landmarkgold.com. And again, David, always great to have you on. Great to have you back, and always a treasure, and really appreciate you.
Well, thank you so much. You know, the Suez Canal is finally open, but one ship clogged the whole fleet of ships, and everything came to a screeching halt. So, you know, we're in this Goldilocks environment.
No kidding.
Great. But, you know, it only takes one entity, one thing to happen, and it all changes. So just be careful to put all your eggs in paper. And I'm not against stocks. I have some myself, and I like the market, and I like have a booming economy, and I love America, and I want it to thrive. But it can't thrive on debt alone, and that's the problem. And when one bubble bursts, it's going to cause a lot of other bubbles burst. The ship will clog the lane. So
It's a great point. One ship has an issue in the Suez Canal, and it shuts the whole thing down. It's a big issue, not just for the Suez Canal's operations in and of itself, but for trade around the world. I mean, this is a very small world now in terms of financial issues, and we need to be aware of that. And like we were saying, and unfortunately makes a good joke before we hit the break, you know, you can be in the bar in a happy hour and everything looks to be great, but the whole building could be on fire. It's just not quite got to the point where you're experiencing that. But I'm looking at the U.S. debt clock, usdebtclock.org, which you should all be familiar with. Go look at it and study it, and then go back in time. You can do that. You can go back in time and look at where we were at 4, 8, 10, 12 years ago. And then you can push forward about 4 or 5 years. And it's really troubling right now, $28.1 trillion in debt. I'm going to go back, David, because you and I started doing radio together back in, I think it was kind of late, sometime in 2016. I'm going to go back and see where we were at then, but we were about $10 trillion less than we are today. And in January, you were talking about, this was unbelievable. When you were saying these numbers, I'm like, that the government this year, this was David's prediction, would spend $8 to $12 trillion this year, our normal yearly expenditures in the $4.1 to $4.3 trillion land, but that's so 2019. We need to get current. So where are we at with that, and how in the world's the Fed going to deal with this? Because they're just going to have to keep cranking up the money machine, I guess.
So I'm trying to get a hard number to that. I can tell you so the budget's going to be $5.5 trillion. They haven't unveiled it yet, and we had $1.9 trillion in COVID. So that's $7.7 trillion. We're just shy of $8. So we're on a low number, and we're only in the first quarter. But there's $2 trillion coming in infrastructure. That's 10.
Right. That's 10.
And that's only halfway through the year. So I guess I'm going to be fairly accurate, probably on the conservative side, when I said $8 to $12 trillion. I hope I'm dead wrong, though. I hope it's like no more spending. But it's not going to be that way.
It's not.
So what I can say is $4.7 trillion has been added to the national debt in 13 months. And in 13 months, the Fed has almost doubled their balance sheet from $3.5 trillion. It was 4.2 or something like that, and went to another $3.5 trillion at $7.7 trillion. So there's massive infrastructure spending going on, massive government stimulus, Fed stimulus. We've got the biggest tax hike happening coming up, from 21 to 28% corporate tax, the biggest hike since 1993. And Janet Yellen, check this out, Steve. Janet Yellen today, the Treasury Secretary, who was the previous Fed chairman, she just gave a speech and said all global allies should increase their corporate tax rate. So she's like conditioning the world. You should do what we're going to do. It's the acceptable behavior. Spend like crazy and tax your people like crazy.
Yeah, and they do it with a completely straight face. And that's where I'm going. I watch these people and listen to these quotes, David, and I'm like, they're just hucksters and they're just literally trying to pull the wool over everybody's eyes? Or are they that ignorant? Is this a spiritual cloud of darkness over them? And I think it's kind of a little bit of all of it. I'm going to go with D, all of the above. Would you agree with that? I mean, what's going on there?
Yeah, I'm going to defer to what Jeffrey Gundlach said. You know, he's a brother of the Lord, and also there's a lot of others who are billionaires I've quoted before. And he said, you know, this whole tax hike is just ridiculous because it's not going to provide that much revenue. I'm paraphrasing. He said, we should just print more money because 90% of the spending comes from printing of money. That's where we should get our money from. That's where we've been getting our money. Why don't we just do more of that? He's being facetious, obviously.
Right, of course.
But the reality is we don't have a tax issue or a revenue issue. We have a spending issue. And, you know, it's a bubble. Every single bubble that is created that becomes a huge bubble, I don't care what the bubble is. It could be, you know, tulips back in the 1700s.
Sure, yeah.
It's whatever that bubble is, eventually it's going to pop if you inflate it too much. And so there's multiple bubbles that we're talking about here that are just way beyond the norm. And when one pops, it's going to be a domino effect. And so, you know, we definitely have a spending problem that they're not addressing. And I don't think they want to address it. And, you know, it's, I think it's all of the above.
Yeah. So you mentioned printing money. That seems to come up every Monday when we're talking to David Fisher, landmarkgold.com, as always. But how much are they printing? So, like, what's the update on that? How fast is this machine cranking out dollar bills to continue to keep the shell game going?
Well, the M1 and M2, and I don't have the exact numbers, but the M1 and M2, the money, the digital money, and the physical paper money has expanded at the fastest rate in the last 13 months we've ever seen in the history of our country. And while that has happened, the dominance of the dollar as a global reserve has shrunk the fastest in the last year. Mm. So anywhere you look, you start looking at, you know, metrics, and you start assessing these, and it's the red light is flashing. I mean, we're headed for a warning. The M2, the number is, and you can look on the U.S. debt clock, it's $19.9 trillion. I mean, which that tells us that's just insane. We're living off borrowed money. It completely tells the story. We're printing our way into debt. So it can't survive. And the IMF last week released the latest coffer report, not to get all technical, but the coffer report, we talked about this before. In essence, it's the currency composition of the official foreign exchange reserve. In other words, how much is the U.S. dollar being used around the world? And what it showed is the trend of the dollar being de-dollarized or being used less is accelerating.
Wow.
It also showed us that the yuan is being used very dramatically.
Yeah, more and more and more. David, I'm going to put you on hold. Talking to David Fisher, Landmark Capital, on a Full Money Monday, the yuan versus the dollar. Remember that little matchup. It's bigger than King Kong versus Godzilla, and the yuan is winning and will win out in the end. We'll talk about that when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Today, a Full Money Monday because it's the first full Monday in April. April already. Can you believe it? We already just passed through the first quarter, January, February, March, and now it's April. My goodness, it just gets worse every year as we get older. That's just the reality. So on the first Monday of the month, we do a Full Money Monday with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. Their website is always landmarkgold.com, and David's been in the industry for over 20 years. Used to be in the ministry, working in the church world, and has been a believer for a long time. And we met back in, I don't know, 2016, and spent hours on the phone together because I didn't know much about precious metals and just assumed it was tied to, you know, building a bomb shelter out in Wyoming somewhere and having lots of dried goods and lots of gun and ammo, but I was wrong. That was an ignorant position. And but then, of course, expanding our conversations outside precious metals to finance in general and banking, what's going on with our debt, which has been a huge issue for me. I've talked about it for years. And so the first Monday of the month, we do a full show with David. And then in between, we do Money Monday updates, just the last segment of each show on Monday. So it's been a great, I think this fall, David, it'll be 5 years. That's hard to believe.
Yeah, we're coming up on that anniversary, exactly.
Yeah, so always great to have you on and really appreciate it. Do you think the average consumer, the average investor out there, David, really understands the weight when we're talking about how much money that the federal government is spending in $8 and $10 and $12 trillion this year and the debt and then the printing of money and then the value of the dollar? Do you think that we're getting more kind of enlightened to that, or is ignorance still a big problem?
Well, I don't think it's ignorance. I think it's the numbers are so large and so confusing, and it changes. I think they get the concept, and the concept is growing, and the feeling of there is an impending problem that this is going to turn into a mess is what they sense in their spirit. And as I'm talking, people are probably already sensing what I'm talking about. So, but as far as the mechanics of it, that's where it becomes challenging to put the arms around it, because it's so big. And, you know, I haven't really totally comprehended it and the significance of it until really probably the last 7 years of my 26-year career doing this. So I mean, I've really studied it in depth, and it is It's the snowball is rolling downhill real fast right now compared to where it was, you know, 4, 5, 7, 8 years ago. It's just a completely different environment.
And when we talk about the value of the dollar versus the yuan, which is the Chinese currency, this is like a King Kong versus Godzilla kind of battle, because these are the two biggest financial powerhouses on the planet. And you know, people, Russia, Putin. I'm always like, no. Let's look a little bit past Russia. China's really the big issue here, especially from a financial perspective. So what happens to us as normal Americans, consumers, when the dollar starts to weaken and the Chinese currency gets stronger and then eventually takes over? What kind of future does that bring to us, David?
We have to understand the whole system. The dollar status of the dominant global reserve is critical as the enabler for the U.S. government to keep ballooning the public debt, and corporate America, you know, also ballooning their debt. And this creates this vast trade deficit for offshore production, where we can, offshore our production to other countries. So in other words, we're counting on them to continue to buy our products, and we're counting on them to continue to buy our debt, you know, mortgage-backed securities, treasuries, U.S. corporate bonds. The moment that the trend changes, and it started to change about 7 years ago, that's when problems start to rise. And if we go back 2 decades, the dollar reserve for the world was about 70%. So 70% of all transactions were done in dollars. It's changed about 15% lower, and once we get below the 50, the teeter-totter is going to tip the other direction. It's going to happen within this administration, where we're going to change to a 50%, where other countries are using other currencies more than the dollar. And once that happens, we go the way of, you know, Britain, where they lost the world reserve because they couldn't keep their financial house in order. This is happening so rapidly that the major indexes are changing their makeups of bonds and moving treasury and putting what you call the weighting of treasuries, moving those to less numbers and putting in the yuan higher numbers. Mm-hmm. What I mean by that is, if you take a look at the FTSE, the Russell, and the Bloomberg's commodity index, they're all, and including Barclays and J.P. Morgan, the big banks, they're all moving the milestone of moving in Chinese bonds that are now being included in all these major bond index benchmarks and lowering the weight of the U.S. dollar index in those indexes. So there's this movement that's happening, that there is a change in the wind. It's subtle, because if they did it all at once one day, we're all going to sell our dollars. The whole system would collapse. There'd be no buyer to buy all the dollars that are being sold. The rest of the world is aggressively moving as fast as they can away from dollars. They're using other currencies like the Chinese yuan or renminbi, and they're also buying gold. So that's why central banks are aggressively buying gold, and have been for the last 4 or 5 years. They've been buying gold for decades, but aggressively 4 or 5 years. So the trends are aggressively to move as fast as they can away from the dollar, because they realize what we're talking about. This debt system is not going to be sustainable, and once the flood breaks loose, this financial flood, it's going to be horrendous, and we will have that day, and it won't be the Goldilocks environment anymore.
Right. Yeah. And it'll be devastating. And it's, again, why we are always talking about diversification and understanding that don't put all your eggs in one basket. We talked about the teeter totter. We talked about a sailboat. You could have a big sail full of all kinds of air and cruising along on top, but if you don't have a keel underneath the body of the boat, you're going to have some issues when the big winds come along. And you look at things like, because I want to talk about inflation, you look at the lumber prices. I mean, lumber prices are up hundreds of percents in the last year, and inflation's a very real threat. And how's that going to affect the market and the bottom line and how we spend our money, David? So is inflation another one of these big problems that's coming up on us pretty fast?
Yeah, copper, steel, corn, soybeans, anywhere you look, pretty much there's inflation. You know, inflation is a love-hate thing. Inflation is really good. Stocks love the inflation at first, and that's why the market's doing really well. We are talking, you know, the biggest word on Wall Street right now is inflation, because they know it's coming.
Yeah.
But it's not here yet. So the market loves it, because in that environment, rates are low, and they print a lot of money, and there's a lot of stimulus. But once inflation grabs hold, the market hates inflation. It's really detrimental. And during the last bout of inflation in the 1970s, stock initially bubbled up huge before they crashed 50% almost, 43% to be exact, over a two-year span, wiping out all the initial gains and then some. So, you know, keep in mind that all bubbles eventually pop. And inflation is going to move into a bubble, and we're not in a bubble yet, but, you know, we're going to have, you know, interest rates that will creep up. The market will be forced, the Fed, to raise rates. We're already seeing signs that this is going to happen, and that's why they're talking about this on Wall Street. And once it does happen, if you're not prepared for it, your portfolio could be annihilated. It's not a matter of will we have inflation. It's a matter of how much inflation we will have. And that's where the dollar gets affected. That's where real estate gets affected. That's where stocks get affected. And that's where gold shines and silver does extremely well. It's the best environment for that. So we're going to see this flip-flop, this teeter-totter tip the other direction. And if you're an advocate of buying low, selling high, or buying, you know, in undervalued assets, that's the time to be buying precious metals right now.
Yeah, it's just, again, it's just understanding that the storm is coming. This is not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. It's cyclical. We've seen this happen time and time again. I don't know why people would think this wouldn't happen as we move forward, but it's coming, and the signs are big and getting bigger. And so when people think about investing, David, in general, and we're going to talk about this mostly in the last segment, just kind of the general idea as we're looking at this troubling environment. We've got the Fed printing money. We've got the federal government spending money. We've got the rise of China's currency and the decreasing value of the U.S. dollar. We have inflation, all these things going on. What should our general mindset be? And in terms of a time frame, as we look at our investments and trying to save appropriately for our future and for retirement?
Well, I've always said you can't time markets, and I'd rather be 2 years too early than 2 days too late. And I'd rather buy undervalued assets than overvalued assets. And if this resonates with people who are hearing your and my voice, you know, the time is now to diversify. Get some money in cash. Get some money in keep some money in stocks. Don't put all your eggs. You wouldn't put all your money into gold and silver. Neither should have all your money into stocks or paper assets. But diversify. And if you follow that game plan, in every bubble that burst, you would have been fine. In the 2008 bubble, when people lost 35 to 50% in stocks, the gold and silver offset those losses by their gains. And cash was king, which got you through the time of lack of revenue coming in, maybe if you lost your job. Right. Real estate, there's being a big warning right now that, from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau last week, that the real estate market could pop here in the coming months because of the COVID area where the people were getting a forbearance. It's getting ready to be done with. So there's 2.5 million people that are still needing to have money to pay for their mortgages. That's going to run out.
That's going to run out. We're talking to David Fisher, LandmarkGold.com. One more segment when we come back right after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Good to be with you. Got a lot going on this week. Talking to our good friend David Fisher today. 26 years in the industry, helping us understand a lot of complicated financial things. And we're going to talk a little bit about investment strategy and in precious metals, which a lot of people go, oh, no, the precious metals. You just get educated. Decide for yourself. I'm never going to tell you in something like this what to do. That's between you and the Lord. And get good counsel. There's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. So we're talking to David for the full show today. Tomorrow will be fascinating. We're going to have my buddy Steve Dace from The Blaze on for the entire show. I'll be done reading number one book on Amazon, which is fascinating. It's really shocking that it's still there because it's called The Faucian Bargain and really looks at the most powerful, most dangerous bureaucrat in American history, Pope Fauci. And just number one on Amazon. He was on C-SPAN for almost an hour this morning. He was on with Glenn Beck. He was on with Tucker Carlson. He's all over the place, which is great because people are wanting to understand what in the world is going on here with Tony Fauci. So we'll spend the entire hour with Steve Dace tomorrow. On Wednesday, a great story of a mom and their daughter. Their daughter is Down syndrome, and just God's just done amazing things with that. And then our good buddy, Pastor Chad Harvey from Cross Assembly Church, will be back in the studio for Theology Thursday this week. So we got a big week planned, but we're talking about big things today, as always, with David Fisher. And again, David, thanks for being with us so much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. You know, I was thinking, I was on the break there, you know, what's the best, you were talking about how to protect yourself.
Yeah.
Let's think of it this way, and everybody check these off in your mind. You know, most people have car insurance, just in case.
Right.
In fact, if you have a loan, it's required to have it. Most people have health insurance, just in case, because at some point in time, you're going to need that. Life insurance, most people have that. Check that box off, just in case, because that's an imminent thing. We will all pass away, and that'll be a glorious day for all of us. But in the meantime, God wants us to take care of the here and now.
Yeah.
Most of us have a mortgage insurance, just in case, but in most cases, you're required by law to have it if you have that type of loan. So when it comes to talking about money, your financial asset, which is probably the biggest asset that most people have, like the 401k,
right,
your IRA, or cash in the bank, things like that. Your wealth that's been entrusted to you, have you insured that? And that's what gold and silver does. It's an insurance policy. Just like you wouldn't put 100% of all your money in your mortgage and your house, and that'd be your only asset, because if real estate prices collapse and you,
right,
and you know, you have a problem, you want to diversify. So you put a portion to 7 or portion to 8, Scripture says. Put a portion in cash, put a portion in real estate, put a portion in stocks, and make sure you cover the last basic, which is probably the most important one, because something is going to happen. It's not if, it will happen now. It's obviously, it's just when, and to the degree of severity, you have to have some precious metals, because they're either going to seize your money or they're going to devalue your money through massive inflation, but it's somehow going to affect all your investments, and that's what gold and silver does. It protects you whatever they decide to do, whether it be one thing or a combination,
right,
of things.
And nobody really wrestles with the thought of car insurance or health insurance or life insurance or disability insurance or mortgage insurance. We don't really wrestle with that. We're going, oh, well, I don't know. Maybe I should do it. Maybe I'd pray about it. No, everybody, that's just a normal part of life. And I think the market's gotten so complicated and the situation is becoming increasingly more dire, not just here in America, but around the world. I mean, you and I both referenced the U.S. national debt clock. You can also flip that puppy over to the world debt clocks and go look at what's going on in other countries around the world. And you're going to see the exact same mess. Different numbers, different amounts, but red up and down the ledger in terms of national debt, literally red. From the top of the list to the bottom of the list of the biggest countries in the world. And so this is not just an American problem. This is a universal problem. This is a human being problem of that which flows out of our sin problem and our irresponsibility and lack of stewardship. And so we have to think in terms of, you know, being defensive. And again, I think there's a balance. You bring this up often, David, and I appreciate it. And for us as followers of Christ, listen, my whole life is not wrapped up in the here and the now. But for right now, a significant portion of it is, and we are called to stewardship and to be able to provide for our families and to be able to be generous with our money. And so we have to be good stewards now because it matters what we're doing now. We can't just clock out and say, well, when I die, I'm going to heaven and it's all going to be good. No, you have responsibility now. And I think that's one of the things about considering precious metals is like having an insurance policy mindset. And I think a lot of people just don't think that way when it comes to finances.
Well, it's the same fundamental that when you analyze a stock, if you do it yourself, what would cause that stock to go up? The fundamentals. And there's fundamentals that are going to cause gold and silver to go up. We've been talking about them. It's no difference than buying a stock, except for you're just buying something that does more than a stock. It's a hard asset that the government can't seize because it's in your possession, and it hedges yourself against the inflation that stocks don't. So it's the same mechanism. It just, you've been not taught that because most financial planners, stockbrokers, don't adhere to a diversification in hard tangible assets. And I'm not putting that industry down. It's just that's not their area of expertise, and they've not been schooled in that. And it takes money out from under their management, so they don't want to advocate doing such a thing in most cases. But I'm seeing a growing number of those actually becoming clients now.
Yeah.
So something is up.
Yeah, I was about to ask you about that because I know we have some mutual friends that some people that are in that kind of investment advisor world, but they're helping their own clients kind of move in that direction in terms of diversification. That's what I wanted to ask you, and I think you just answered my question. You've seen an increase in that. Is that correct?
I'm not going to drop names because I don't want to, you know, put anybody
in
trouble.
No, that's fine.
But there's people that you and I know personally that have referred their clients because of you and your integrity and our integrity and our mutual relationship that have, when the client has asked them, where do I go to buy physical precious gold and silver, because, and they might not have heard of your program, this person gives them our phone number, and there's been a connection and people have invested. And so there's, that tells me that more than people just outside of your program are feeling the very same things that people are feeling that are listening to what we're saying. And I can say this, the volume of purchases, although it might not be reflected in price increase, the volume of purchases that have happened the first quarter this year has been more than all of last year.
Wow.
So it's well, excuse me, I want to correct my number, not quite as much as last year.
Okay.
It's been very significant.
Yeah.
Wow. So just because the index has not shown that does not mean that the volume is happening. And I can say for the first time in 26 years, markets that have completely dried up, I said they'll never, ever happen. They've dried up this first quarter during periods of time where you just couldn't get product.
Yeah, that's just amazing. And again, one of the things that shocks me more often than not when we do Money Monday updates or a full Money Monday like we're doing today is when you're referring to national banks or corporate type entities or banks themselves or individual investors, be it Warren Buffett or whoever, that are making significant moves into precious metals. Because I'm always like, that's kind of strange that they're talking about that, because these are like investment type people that don't normally talk about that in their conversation. But you experienced that when you're dealing with some of the video you work with TD Ameritrade, right? There's been an increase generally in the industry on precious metals over the last few years.
Absolutely. I've never seen before in the last 3 years, mostly two until now, where there's been a significant amount of billionaires who run hedge funds and people from heads of bank like Bank of America, Wells Fargo. They talk about the need to have precious metals in the portfolio and the performance that it will have in the future once inflation kicks in. They say it's going to be like never, ever experienced before. So, you know, and these are big, big money people saying these things. It's not the small investor just feeling it. It's the big money that is actually publicly saying it.
Yeah, and there's a wisdom in a multitude of counselors, especially when those counselors are billionaires. When it comes to financial matters, it'd probably be a good idea to pay attention to what they're saying. So in terms of people kind of 101 investing in this conversation or considering what to do with their own portfolios, big, medium, small, whatever the case may be, David, what's some kind of first steps that they could take that could be helpful for them in trying to get more educated?
Well, we have an investment packet. That doesn't mean that they have to invest. I should call it a learning package, is really what it is, to learn about this. And so there's no pressure working with our company. By calling our company, they can get a packet, and we can go over a thing called the financial blueprint, which kind of diagrams their thought pattern and what they think about, you know, diversification, and help them fill in the blanks on an interactive conversation where they get a hands-on view of them seeing personally if they put a portion here, here's how that would do for them in the short term and the long term. And so I encourage people to call our company or go to our website and get a packet and learn about this before they make any decisions, because that's, you got to learn before you earn, as we say.
Yeah, and then I know, because I'm going to put this link up if anybody's interested, because you're doing some videos on YouTube now. Is that correct?
I've been doing them for the last couple of years. I'm getting ready to do some more, yes. And so they can go to type in YouTube and type in Landmark Capital or Landmark Gold, and it should bring up our YouTube video series.
Yeah, and again, it's just a matter of taking the time to educate yourself. But in terms of reaching out directly, David, if people want to get more information, what's the best process?
The old-fashioned way, as we said, call 844-879-8882. I'll say it again. I don't want to sound like an infomercial, though. 844-879-8882. And give us a call. We'll get a packet sent out to you, and then you'll have a lot of questions. We'll go from there. And you guys will know what decision is best for you. There'll be no pressure from our company in any way, shape, or form.
Amen. David, as always, thank you for bringing your expertise to the show. We appreciate you and value you, my brother. God bless you. Have a great week.
God bless you, my brother. I appreciate you, Steve.
All right. We'll talk soon. Thanks so much. That was David Fisher. LandmarkGold.com is his website, as always. We'll be back tomorrow. Steve Dace, this will be... He is so on fire right now, and he was really lit up on C-SPAN. They had some callers in this morning, And he's not taking any hostages. He's a believer. He's a follower of Christ. And he's a buddy. He's an expert. And we're going to talk about the Faucian bargain tomorrow. What's up with Pope Fauci? This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.